Good morning, everybody. I have some exciting news for you if you haven't already heard, or at least it's exciting to me. Way more exciting than the prospect of looking into an iPhone week in and week out instead of being in a room with all of you. Are you ready for it? We have a target date for resuming services on Sundays at the PLCC. It's a little celebration time going on over here. We're really excited about it. I can imagine if Pastor Greg were here, I could see him doing the fist pump or starting the lawnmower or something, but this is the deal. We're targeting Sunday, July 5th at 10 a.m. for a reopening of the PLCC. Now, this doesn't come without a few complexities, and I'm hoping that most of you read that email from the church elders the other day that outlines the range of factors involved. We want you to have some idea of what to expect upon our reopening. Due to the challenge of maintaining a safe and sanitary facility, we won't be resuming any midweek meetings or services yet, but we are encouraged to be moving towards that at a later time, and we are resuming Sunday morning services on Sunday, July 5th. But for any of you who may not have read that email, I'm going to recap some of it here again so you have some idea of what to expect on the day of. So while we're thrilled and excited to look forward to some sense of normalcy after these months of uncertainty, we do want to foster a safe environment for all members and guests who will be joining us on Sunday, July 5th. And for that reason, the church facility will be cleaned and sanitized before and after each use. We just want you to know that. Also, hand sanitizing dispensers will be installed at or near the church entrance to the facility for your convenience, as well as in the church nursery. The church kitchen will not be in use, but all the bathrooms will be in use, thank God, and everybody said amen. And we'll be asking everyone to wear an appropriate surgical mask or reasonable equivalent before entry into the building. We'll have some masks available if needed. If somebody forgot to bring one, we'll take care of that, but we kindly ask that you bring your own as our supply is limited. We'll also ask that everyone maintain the recommended 6 feet of distance between themselves and others, with exceptions being made for families and people who reside in the same household. And we'll all have to consider the allowable number of occupants that are in the church building at any one time. So we'll likely consider or institute some sort of reservation approach or something similar, a procedure like that that helps us maintain that recommendation. This will allow the PLCC to give consideration for any guests who may be in attendance, and I'm sure we'll have more info on that at the appropriate time. We just want you guys to be aware. A few other changes. Passing an offering plate is now a thing of the past at the PLCC. We plan to install an offering box in the foyer by the entrance to the church building, and we encourage you also to take advantage of the chance to contribute electronically in your giving. If you're willing and able, it's easy to do, and our administrator, Eric Torsten, can help you with any of those details if you choose to go that route. And during the first phase of reopening, we don't think it's prudent to serve coffee or food of any kind, so in order to limit congregating in the lounge and reduce the increased risk of COVID transmission, we won't have coffee or refreshments in the lounge at this time. So while we'll miss that fresh ground coffee and freshly brewed coffee that we all appreciate, this will make the lounge available as a Sunday school room during this first phase. Also during this first phase, the PLCC will do our best to make adjustments to any other items and practices that might contribute to COVID transmission or an unhealthy environment. All items associated with the pews will be removed, including the cushions, the hymnals, the Bibles for the time being. We encourage you to bring your own Bible, of course, from home, or follow along the scripture readings on your favorite device. Also, communion, when we do serve it, will look a little different for us, at least for the time being. During phase one of reopening, we'll discontinue the practice of passing around common communion plates and trays. Instead, we'll opt for individually packed elements. Listen, I know this feels a little tedious, but we're just trying to give you some idea of what to expect. And by God's grace and in his mercy, we're going to love one another and we're going to make the best of it. And I pray that's your heart as well. We want you to know that the elders thought long and hard about when and how to reopen the PLCC. and we agreed that we thought it best to do so only at such time as we could capably do these following two things. Number one, we wanted to have a responsibly prepared overflow area in the fellowship hall so that we could maintain appropriate social distancing while also providing an on-site access to the Sunday service. We want to be able to stream it downstairs so that if people need an overflow space in the fellowship hall, if we're filled to socially distanced capacity in the sanctuary, we'd have the opportunity for people to participate on site with the live service that's going on. Number two, we wanted to provide access to Sunday school for our PLCC kids. Both of these are very important to us. We didn't want to resume Sunday services until or unless we could accommodate both of these, the overflow and the Sunday school for the kids. And in order to accommodate that, we needed access to the entire PLCC facility, including the classroom downstairs in the church building that's housed Morning Sun Nursery School for most of the past 30 years. It just so happens that Morning Sun Nursery has ceased its operations and is in the process of vacating that classroom this month. This will allow us, under these unique circumstances, to have full access to a space that hasn't been fully available to the PLCC for decades. So it's a little tedious here, but the beauty of it is that the PLCC, as of the first Sunday in July, for the first time in about 30 years, will have full access to the entire church facility, including the classroom that was formerly used by Morning Sun Nursery School. And the good news there is that this added usable space will allow us to resume Sunday school upon reopening, and we hope you're as pleased about that as we are. We also want everyone to know that we plan to continue streaming our Sunday morning messages online and possibly our music ministry if we're able to work out the technicalities. Thank you to Michaels, Beasley, and Leonetti for helping out with the tech issues. But if you or your family members aren't prepared to return to the PLCC in person yet or have any health concerns or qualms about it, a big thanks to these guys for helping us out in keeping that streaming going once we resume the Sunday services. You'll still be able to join us on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for church online. Of course, we would hope that church members would use this as an option of last resort, that you'd join us in person whenever it's feasible, because we're looking forward to that. And finally, it's our sincere hope that we as the congregation of the PLCC would be aware and appreciative for the time, for the effort of the PLCC Council. They've put time and work into preparing for these protocols and these procedures to be enacted and for the July 5th reopening to even become a possibility. There's a myriad of considerations here, and the elders would like to give a big shout out to both the church council and the church sextons for all their dedication and the hard work in making this reopen possible. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. And as elders, we believe this presents a unique opportunity for each of us as the PLCC body to reach out to both the council and the sextons with words of gratitude and affirmation rather than just questions and frustrations. I really believe that. It's a unique opportunity that we have to appreciate them and to show that appreciation. So I truly hope and pray that you would respond by reaching out to them during this time. We believe that they all deserve appreciation, and we hope that you agree. Now that the housekeeping is over, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's get down to the business here and jump into some scripture. And so I just want to pray for us. Father, would you lead us? Lord, would you open our hearts and our minds as we consider you and your word, as we consider all these things and how it all works together? Father, we pray in Jesus' name that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth in us as it is in heaven. Be glorified. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, we learned how listening is a part of loving. When a local lawyer asked Jesus to name the greatest commandment. Jesus, as recorded by the Apostle Mark, says, "Hear, O Israel." That's right. The foremost and greatest commandment that you all know, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength, is prefaced with this directive, hear. So we see this connection between loving and hearing, loving and listening. Jesus was, of course, referencing Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God. Hear, and you shall love the Lord your God. You cannot love if you do not listen. Loving is a part of listening. To love is to listen. And last week we saw that James admonishes us to be quick to listen in James 1:19. He says, be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. And this is in great contrast to our culture and in this hour in which we live, an hour in which everyone seems to have little regard for listening and great regard for speaking, for hearing themselves speak and for becoming angry. We seem to have come to a place in our culture in which we glorify becoming outraged and angry rather than promoting the discipline of thoughtful, introspective listening and consideration. Because of that, we end up talking past each other and hearing very little and sadly loving very little. We end up hurting each other, disregarding God, and accomplishing little in the process. Jesus said this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. God himself is a peacemaker. You ever think about this? God is a peacemaker, sending his son, who is our peace, the scripture teaches us. God himself is a peacemaker. He's both a lover and a listener. So it only makes sense that those who would love and those who would listen and those who would make peace would be called the sons of the one who is a lover and a listener and a peacemaker. Loving is listening, and you cannot love if you will not listen. So that was last week. And before that, a couple of weeks before, we looked at Psalm 29 and how the voice of the Lord is powerful, Psalm 29:4, and how God is worthy of all the honor that we could ever give him. And as we read that, the Lord himself says he will strengthen his people and that the Lord will bless his people with peace, Psalm 29:11. He doesn't say that he'll bless his people with peaceful circumstances. He doesn't say that he'll bless his people with comfortable lives or lack of strife. In fact, Jesus all but guarantees that we will have things like trial, things like tribulation. We will have difficult circumstances. Sometimes I get the impression that too many of us as believers have made the assumption that life will get easier as a follower of Christ. Not so. Jesus says it's a narrow road that leads to life, and it's difficult. And we'll have to lose our lives and carry a cross in pursuit of him. Yet, he says he will bless his people in the middle of the strife, in the middle of the cross. He will bless his people with peace. And that challenges our natural mind because it's counterintuitive. It's against the thinking of our carnal mind. It's impossible with us. But with God, Jesus says, all things are possible. And so it was brought to my attention the other day that 1 week we spoke about peace, another week we spoke about love, and now that maybe it's time to talk about joy. And so I took Paul Loudy up on that suggestion, and today we're going to talk for a few minutes about something that's so counterintuitive to our human experience, particularly from a human perspective, especially in times of crisis or difficulty, that like what we've been experiencing as a congregation and as a nation in recent months. And that thing is joy. It's not some abstract thing over there by itself. It's not something just like that God just drops in our lap or presents to us. It is part and parcel of Him and His very Spirit, the Spirit with which He fills us, the Scripture teaches. It is, in fact, the very fruit, the very essence, the very evidence that His Spirit resides in us. If we lack joy, then we lack the Spirit of God and we've ceased to be led by the Spirit of God. Let me say that again. If we lack joy, we have ceased to be led by the Spirit of God and we are lacking the filling of His Holy Spirit. How many of you know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, Psalm 30 says. At once, immediately, at the knowledge of and the entrance of God's love into your mind, into your heart, into your soul. Think about this. Remember, for just a minute, the first time you experienced God's love, or you heard and you understood and you believed in the love of God, joy and peace come very naturally after you have that kind of experience with God, after His Spirit fills you up. Did you ever notice this? At the very moment we experience that love, His joy is the result. When a person experiences God's forgiveness, they invariably smile or cry tears of joy. It's just the result, without fail. I've never seen someone be drawn deeper into the love of God or be converted by the Spirit of God or filled with His Spirit. I've never seen them respond with anything less than smiling, than laughing, or crying deeply with tears of joy and gratitude. There's one Spirit, the Scripture says, and there's one fruit. It's a package deal. It's not just love and not only peace, but also a deep and an abiding joy. And this joy originates from God. What does the Scripture tell us about the joy of the Lord? Nehemiah 8:10 says famously, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And so I find it interesting that the Lord says He'll give strength to His people on one hand in the Psalms, and that His joy, through the prophet Nehemiah, His joy is our strength on the other. The Spirit of the living God is going to strengthen you with His joy being evidenced and in operation within your life. And we see this borne out in our lives, don't we? In times when we're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, we become weak and faltering in our walk as believers. Without the fruit of God's Spirit in the form of joy, we become prone to discouragement or complaining and doubt rather than encouragement and edification and faith. And that reminder from Nehemiah about the Lord's joy comes on the heels of the wall having been rebuilt for His people. The prophet Nehemiah gathers singers and gatekeepers and guards and Levites at the recommissioning, and he encouraged them by saying the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're feeling weak, maybe you need the Lord's joy in your life. When you're feeling discouraged, when you're feeling worn down, when you're feeling defeated, you need God's Spirit to manifest itself with this fruit of joy. Don't get me wrong. There's a time for everything. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to weep. But let me tell you, there's also a time for joy, the joy of the Lord. And it's the fruit of His Spirit inside you. And it'll strengthen you in the middle of whatever struggle you're facing today, if only you'll open up your heart to the Lord. You might have to remind your face about it, someone said. And I know the feeling. I can be a stoic dude or a serious guy, and I get told, "Oh, Beasley, you're in task mode right now. Where's your joy?" Sometimes I need to be reminded that God, who is absolutely deadly serious, is also full of joy and presides over a kingdom that is joyful and joy-filled. Did you know that? God says through the prophet Isaiah, "I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy over my people." He also said, "As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." I'm reminded of a privilege I had last year to witness a bridegroom up close and personal. And let me tell you that as the bride walked across that field of grass and the backdrop of the colors of fall, that bridegroom was rejoicing. And God says that's how he rejoices over us. And that groom, I don't know how it's possible, but he was crying tears of joy and grinning from ear to ear all at the same time. And that's exactly how God says he responds with us. He rejoices over us like a bridegroom rejoices over the bride. And he wants to put his spirit of joy in you so that you can experience and partake of that same rejoicing. This is what heaven is like. Jesus said there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need no repentance. Luke 15:7. There is joy in heaven. You mean to tell me when I got down on my knees and repented, there was joy in heaven? Really? 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 Truly there was. Think about it. For each one of you, as you came to your senses and the eyes of your heart were opened up, there was the Father rejoicing over you, and heaven celebrated. It's described as joy unspeakable and full of glory. You might want to let your face know about it. And when your heart and your head behold and are reminded about the reality of it, they can't help but show it. Hebrews 1:9 says that Jesus was anointed by the Father with the oil of gladness above all his fellows, above everyone else. I believe Jesus was a man on a mission, yes, but also he was a man on a mission who was accompanied by and carried out that mission with the distinguishing characteristic of joy. The scripture says it was the joy that was set before him that empowered him to endure the cross. That's right. Joy empowers us to endure. Do you know that? Hebrews 12 says this, run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. This connection between joy and endurance. If you want the ability to endure in this race, in these challenges, in these current times and conflicts, then you will have to look at Jesus and see how he did it. How did he do it? He was able to endure because of the joy set before him. It was joy that empowered him. It was joy that inspired him. It was joy that was to come that gave him empowering in the here and now, and that created endurance to withstand the trials and the mockings and the persecutions and the cross. It was his understanding of the joy to come that granted him endurance in the present. His joy was the power to endure, and it's also your power to endure. His joy can be yours and mine simply for the asking. Now, there's no magic formula here. There aren't magic words to recite. It isn't some other abstract thing that just simply gets deposited on you. The joy of the Lord that is your strength will be experienced in your life and mine as we are filled with the Spirit of God. And it will grow as we walk by the Spirit of God. And receiving the Spirit of God is as simple as for the asking. Jesus says, if you know you people, if we, the fallen people of this world, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? You got any parents out there? You like to give gifts to your children? You know how much joy that brings to your life and what it fosters in your relationship, and you love to do those things? God says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Spirit of God is yours for the asking. And the joy that we experience in our lives, the strengthening that we come to experience in our lives and in our walk and in the middle of COVID and crisis is simply the fruit or the evidence that God's Spirit is at work in us. And it won't always be because of what you experience, this joy of the Lord. It never will be because of the things around you. Many times, much of the time, this joy will be very much in spite of that which you experience in your journey through this life, your journey towards God. Christ's life was not one of ease or pleasure, but it was one of joy. The Christian walk isn't necessarily one of ease or pleasure either, but it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be one of an ironic and beautiful and sometimes difficult, but ever joyful endurance to the end. Don't forget what lies ahead. So if you need to be strengthened today, ask God for His Spirit. Wait for the Spirit, Jesus told the disciples. You'll receive power if you wait for the Spirit. Because in receiving of His Spirit, you're receiving of His strength and His joy. And if you find yourself facing hardship, lift up your eyes and begin to rejoice. If you need the ability to endure, I challenge you to behold and to be reminded of the joy-filled kingdom into which you have been born. The kingdom which was joyful that sinners like you and me joined their ranks. It doesn't make sense to the carnal mind, but it makes so much sense in the kingdom of God. One whose life is distinguished by complaint and ingratitude is missing out on joy and is quenching the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, don't quench the Spirit by complaint, by ingratitude, ungratefulness. Instead, be filled with the Spirit in a practical and tangible way, not just moved by feelings and other things, but be filled with and led by the Spirit of God. Be strengthened by His joy today, in Jesus' name. And that's my prayer for you, that you would take the time to wait on Him, that you would ask. It's yours for the asking. He says the Father would love to give His Spirit to those who ask. And so, Father, we ask for Your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we would respond to this truth of Your Word and this invitation for Your Holy Spirit to fill us and to lead us and to empower us with Your joy. Father, let it be in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Amen and amen. God bless you. Looking forward to seeing you very soon.